Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
See, a curse in the Bible, a curse in the spiritual realities, is, you know, when someone curses you, that's profanity. That's just vulgarity of language. But a curse is an assault against destiny, an assault against health, an assault against identity. So it's the devil trying to steal your identity, health, and destiny. And so we have authority in Christ to break curses. In fact, as believers, the only curse that has authority over you is the curse that you're in agreement with. And so when the truth comes into our world, it sets us free because it exposes lies we believed. Amen? So the enemy's a liar, and he only has authority when we believe a lie. So God's, so all of us are free, but we're getting freer. Okay? So the more truth. And you just hang in there. If you're a new Christian or if you're new to C3, man, just hang in there. Because God's got a great pathway of freedom for you and so many blessings for you. But we're going to be reading from the book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which is Oprah before her TV show. Apparently, this is the... which belonged to Joash the Abarizite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. There's so much there. First of all, I think it's, I like this angel already. He's kind of a cool angel, sitting there just, you know, under the tree, just taking it easy. And but he's there because someone is about to enter into their destiny. So as he's there to encounter a young man named Gideon. And so the first introduction we have to Gideon, and Gideon is that he's doing something. Just a couple of things. You know what God can bless in your life? Something. God can't bless nothing. And you can't, I don't want to pick at anybody single, but you can't sit in your living room praying for your spouse. You have to go meet people. You can't, if you're believing for a financial breakthrough, stop praying to win the lottery and start a business. So there's, God has something, he blesses something. But, so he's doing, if you notice what he's doing, he is threshing wheat in the winepress. So that's, because of the oppression of the Midianites, they weren't allowed to have businesses or even have farm stuff. So because of that, Gideon is doing something in secret. Now, here's the first insight we have of Gideon. Gideon has a fight in him. So what happens in life is that the devil will try to steal your fight. But the first introduction of Gideon, at least he's doing something, even if it's not successful or profitable or outrageously fruitful, at least he's trying something. You can't give up. Yes. Don't listen, it's time to get your fight back. Yeah. It's time to get your fight back. Yes. So as we study Gideon, here's the insight about him. God doesn't want to take the fight out of the fighter. He just wants to introduce that person to the fight they were made to win for Jesus. So we have also in our natural personality, your natural personality and attributes are prophetic indicators of your spiritual destiny. So the natural will point toward the destiny. So Peter's fishing. Jesus said, man, you're so close. We're just going to take that net from the ocean to the land. From now on, you're going to fish souls. So our natural acumens and personalities will point us toward destiny. But without Jesus, we can't get there. We can get close. We can have all the ingredients. And so he's close, he's frustrated, he's the exact person God wants him to be, but he can't find his destiny without spiritual direction. So the angel is going to introduce him, and the angel of the Lord appeared now, manifest himself to Gideon, and said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Two important things. Two important things. I just want you to know every day of your life, God's been with you. On your worst day, there are three people in this room, I might find you in a little bit, that the devil has tried to kill you prematurely, even before you knew Christ. But in those moments, God defended your life because he was with you, even before you had the revelation that he was with you. And the angel said, God is with you. And so we know God's with us even when we don't feel him. Okay? So loneliness is always a lie because Jesus said, I'm never leaving you. Nothing can drive me. I'll never forsake you. There's nothing you can do to make God stop loving you. Okay? And so the God that loves you is with you. The second thing is the angel then revealed his identity. You are a champion, a mighty man of valor. I think it's the Hebrew word gibor, which means giant slayer. You are a champion for God. And so here's Gideon now. He's done nothing. He's accomplished nothing. He's trying to do that. And God says, you're a world changer. You're a history maker. You're a world shaker. Because God doesn't talk to you about where you're at. He talks to you about where you're supposed to be. And the way that God introduces you to your destiny is to reveal your identity. And so in the Bible in its essence is a book, a mirror, as it self describes itself, a mirror of what? Identity. What it tells me, I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm the head and not the tail. So the Bible tells us all those things so that we'll lock in, because when we discover our identity, we unlock our destiny. So when you ask God, God, what do you want me to do for you? God will tell you who you are. The who comes before the what, always. Because if you got your destiny before you found your identity, your destiny will destroy you. And so God always shows us who we are to qualify us. And so he says, Gideon, you're a world changer. You're a conqueror. You're a mighty man. That's who God talks to us about. That's how God speaks to us. Amen. I'm talking to a room full of world shakers and history makers. Come on. The C3 movement is God's anointed this movement to conquer curses and to reveal identity in order to accomplish the kingdom of God. Now, this morning I spoke a related sermon to this about overcoming strongholds or curses over cities. Today, about families in our own lives, and tonight about overcoming religion. So they're all tied into this theme of curse breaking. Say it again, I'm a curse breaker. Okay? So Gideon now has had an angel from God speak to him. And you think that would be enough to secure faith in his heart to respond in kind, okay. But Gideon has so much frustration in him, he just lets it out. And he says this, oh my Lord, if God is really with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles that our fathers told us about? So Gideon is boiling over with frustrations. He's disillusioned. He's watched his nation suffer for 7 straight years in horrific poverty and oppression. And he says, where was God? How come this happened? If God's so good, why did my mom die or my parents divorce or my spouse? Well, so the devil has been playing games in his mind about the nature of God and the presence of God and the promise of God. And so Gideon just spouts it out. I just want to encourage you. God's big enough to handle your complaint. If you read the Psalms, half of David's Psalms, the beginning are, a life is so crappy. The end of the Psalms, hey, God's good. He preached them himself. He talked to himself. He worshiped his way to a better outlook, okay? So Gideon responds to this, but it's kind of important. If stuff that's broken doesn't bother you, it's because you're broken. So let me go a little bit deeper. If things that are happening in our culture don't bother you a little bit, it's because something's broken in you. Because when you look properly at the broken world, we should be a little frustrated that it's the way it is. And so that's how we change things, okay? We transform our frustration into positive kingdom action that brings transformation. That's what begins the journey. So Gideon, you know, says all these frustration words, and the angel just ignores him. You done? You done, son? And the angel says, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So it's just so beautiful. And so God says, my presence and my promise is enough for you. I've anointed you to go. You are my deliverer. You are the one I've chosen, and you are my vessel to set this generation free. So, you know, God's chosen you. God's put his hand upon you. God's anointed you, ordained you. God's established his purpose in you. And there's a reason for your life, and there's a purpose for your walk with Christ. And God's going to make, listen, just give God the time. He's going to answer all your questions. He's going to remove all your frustrations. He's going to help you overcome the things that are, you know, why this happened? Why that happened? How come this hasn't happened? God will help you move past that. You're going to have such a revelation of God. All your doubts about his intentions are going to disappear and melt away. Because he's so good, and the closer we get to him, the more our fears or reservations about him just melt away under the hot light of his perfect love. So God has something for us as his children. So this is all going really good, and Gideon's responding, okay, and then he talks about his family. He says, I'm in the weakest family. We're from the smallest family in the smallest tribe, but God knows exactly who you are. So a couple of important points. When people are broken, they'll always tell you everything that's wrong in their world. So what happens is this. When you're more familiar with the negative traits of your life and your family than you are the positive traits, it's because you're under a family curse. So people that are under the weight of an oppressive demonic agency know how to describe that room. They become experts at evaluating and understanding. Well, here's what's wrong. When I ask people to make a list, I have degrees in psychology. So I ask people to make a list. Tell me everything that's wrong in your life or your family. Tell me, make two columns, right and wrong. The wrong column is four times longer. Wow. Oh my God. What's right? Well, I'm alive. Yeah. Anything else? I don't know. So, because that's what the devil does. He convinces us he's in control, and then we live under the weight of the oppression that's in our world, our culture, especially in our family. The second point is this. The strongest demonic power you will ever face is the one that comes through your family. So, it has familiar spirit. It has generational legacy, and because someone else didn't conquer it, it has momentum to hurt you. So Exodus 20 says this, make no idols before me, Ten Commandments. If you do, I will visit the iniquities of the fathers to their children to the third and fourth generation. So a generational curse is simply a unrepented sin that has now become a spiritual stronghold that is now oppressing the next generations. So some of you are fighting a fight that you didn't even start. You've inherited a darkness, depression, suffering, or some kind of oppressive temptation because someone else up your lineage didn't conquer it. The sins that fathers don't conquer become the strongholds that conquer their sons and daughters. Okay, oh, I like that one. Someone Facebooked me. Okay. So, I'm sorry. So Gideon, I got to fast forward this because I feel a little cheated. I should not be, my wife's time should not be on my clock. I'm just saying. They should add like 5 minutes to my, just saying. Okay. But I love what my wife said. So Gideon says, so Gideon makes a fleece, and I don't have time for to talk about all that. Verse 22 says, Gideon perceived that the angel of the Lord was in this moment, and he said, "Alas, Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." It's a great portrait of intimacy with God that changes our world. So when I see Jesus, listen, I best understand Jesus, or excuse me, I best understand myself when I see Jesus. So Peter said, or Simon said, "You are Jesus." And Jesus pointed back and said, "You are Peter." The more I understand about God, the more he helps me understand about me. So a couple of things here. So verse 23 says, "Then the Lord said to him, 'Peace be to you. Do not fear. You won't die.'" So Gideon built an altar there and called it, "The Lord is peace. Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is my peace." One of the covenant names of God. Okay. So I was reading this years ago, and I said, "Well, God, it's really cool you made peace with Gideon there." And here's what the Lord said to me. "That's not where I made peace with him. That's where he made his peace with me." Wow. See, I find so many people have a hidden or submerged frustration, disappointment, or even anger against God for the things, the unexplainable hardships of life, why bad things happen to good people. And so they create these deep beliefs, these deep core questions about God. But you can't serve God if you don't trust him. Okay? You'll always hold back if you've not made, I think Mary mentioned, did you mention Forrest Gump? No, you mentioned the other movie. So in the movie Forrest Gump, all you millennials, Google it or look it up. It's an ancient movie. Tom Hanks. But Captain Dan made his peace with God. Forrest talks about that. So you have to make your peace with God. God didn't kill your mom. God didn't make your marriage. God doesn't pass out candy called cancer. God doesn't take babies to heaven because he's lonely for children. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from God. The Bible says the devil is a thief. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life. I say to my church, if it ain't good, it ain't God. The fingerprints of God are never on the evil things that happen in this world. You have to win the argument in your soul that God's always good, even when life's not. Okay? When you can worship God, there are people here today who are worshiping God. And so proud of you because you're going through a tough time. When you can worship God for being good while you're still going through something bad, you give the devil two black eyes. Okay? That's how it works. But here's... please let me get to my actual message. I'm sorry. So the Lord's came to Gideon and said this to him. So Gideon's like, "I'm on board. Let's change the world. I'm ready. I'm ready to go forward." And God says, before you go forward, you've got to go backwards. And here's what the Lord said to Gideon. Verse 26 or 25. "Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to Gideon, 'Take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has set up, and cut down the wooden image of Asherah that is beside it, and build in the same place an altar to the Lord your God on top of the rock in the proper arrangement.'" So worship transforms our battleground into a holy ground. But here's the whole idea now. Here's what God said to Gideon. You can't conquer the stronghold over this nation until you've conquered the stronghold over your family. So it's impossible to conquer strongholds in culture that we haven't first conquered in our character. So God, the things that God's dealing with you now are going to have a far-reaching effect. God's going to help you overcome, young men, pornography. God's going to help you, men and women, overcome immorality. He's going to help you overcome addiction. He's going to help you overcome anger or resentment or bitterness or depression, whatever it is. Come on. God's going to help you make it through this. And he's going to help you. And when you, here's what the Bible says in Galatians 3. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us. Amen. He was cursed for us. that we might receive the blessings of Abraham, that we might receive the blessings of God, that we might receive our inheritance in God's word, that we might fulfill our destiny. By the blood of Christ, you are free. Now it's your job to claim your freedom and fight until you're totally free. By the promise of God's word, you are free. Any curse you're living under is because you're in alignment with it. Today, we're breaking our agreement with curses, and we're stepping into the freedom we have in Christ. The victories you win in your private life when no one is watching propel you and promote you to platforms of influence to win victories in public when everyone's watching. Oh, Pastor, I'd like to be sometime on the stage. Will you keep conquering that family devil? His father, here's the influence, the inference. Altar of Baal, Asherah. Asherah was the god of fertility or sexual immorality. Can you imagine going to church and a part of the church was having prostitutes you could sleep with? How was worship service today? Oh, it was pretty good. Yes, especially the brunette. And that stronghold, God says, you can't set a nation free as long as you still serving your daddy's devil. If you can tear down daddy's devil, you can tear down the nation's devil. Come on. There's a consequence. There's a consequence. And so there's a great verse in Ezekiel chapter 18, and God says to Israel, he says this, don't you have a parable? Don't you have this saying that says, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth is set on edge? And God says, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of all the patterns that keep recycling in families. And God says, that's all going to end. And through Jesus, you can be different than grandma, than grandpa, than mom, than dad, than the culture, than the world. You can be a different, doesn't matter. Don't ever let your race, your gender, your background, or your family give you an excuse to not be like Jesus. There's a great verse in the Bible in Romans 12, 21. It says, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So people ask me, Pastor, where's my destiny? And God will help you find it. But one of the ways of finding it is look at what the devil's done. And in that very spot, God wants to do something opposite. He wants to turn the tables upside down, the opposite spirit. So if everybody's hateful, you be a lover and forgiver. If everybody's lustful, you be pure-minded and pure-hearted. If everybody's angry, you be kind and patient. We overcome evil with intentional good actions. That's how we whoop the devil. That's how we defeat it. Whatever it is, the devil's been trying to grip you, whatever you've been through, whatever kind of stories are a part of your life. I have a story of a preacher friend, and she was talking to a counseling moment. In the counseling moment, she was talking to a young teenager in a church who just met his father. And the boy had been separated through trauma, and this man now is introducing himself to his son. And she said it was the funniest thing is when they sat the same way, their arms folded. They both gave me the exact same negative look. They had never been apart, but they shared the same negative characteristics because they were bound by the same generational power. And God wants you free, my friend. It's never too late to be free. Come on, God wants you free, mind, body, and soul, and family. So here's what I found out. Because I went to work and battling these things from my own inheritance. Our story is this. Mary and I have been married 39 years. 33 years ago, when we were 27, we started our first church in Scottsdale, a little too early. But God blessed it. It grew to 4,000 in 10 years. That's the grace of God. And Israel Houghton came out of that church, Ricardo Sanchez, B.J. Putnam, some incredible worship leaders. And we were building a 4,800-seat auditorium. Just don't build too small, Pastor Matt. Put as many chairs in that puppy as you can get, okay? And our treasurer in August, exactly 23 years to almost this Sunday, our treasurer embezzled $20 million from our church. So we never got it back. He went to jail. And we went to bankruptcy. Our church grew from 4,000 to 140. That's the wrong way in church growth charts. Well, we were in the front page of the front page headlines 10 times in the paper. And a whole bunch of things, TV and all the things, all the circuits. Six lawsuits, there would have been 60, but two of them are class action, with which they were enjoined by thousands of people. So everybody, we were building this incredible building. People just said, well, that must have been where the money went, but that's not where it went. We had a big debt, $15 million loaned. But anyways, I became manically depressed for 2.5 years, and it worked out good for me. I decided to finish my graduate work. Like Miss Rachel is going for a master's in psychology. Graduate work in psychology. And so I laid on my own couch and said, you're sick. And I said, I know I'm sick. So, but I would say this, depression, mental illness, and dysfunction were, you know, so much in my family's heritage. And so I was either going to finish my life bound by what I was born into, or by the blood of Jesus, find freedom and for a new life. And I'm here to tell you, she calls me Lazarus. Jesus gave me a new start, a new heart, a new beginning. He gave me back everything I lost many times. And I'm deeply grateful and humble. Listen, when your name's Lazarus, every day is a good day, you know what I mean? And God gave us a $30 million property 9 years ago for free. Wow. Just outrageous miracle after miracle. We have 18 campuses now. Just unbelievable stuff has happened. The church is, you know, God's, all the glory goes to God. Now I sit, my book comes out in 2 weeks called God of the Comeback. It's my life story up to now. And that's going to tell all those things. But here's my point. All those things that happened, the big devil that I had to fight wasn't the press. Wasn't the media, wasn't what people were saying. It was the one I was living with. The one I was born with. And man, oh man, that was the fight of my life. But Jesus healed me from depression. He told me if I would reveal things, he would heal things. I walked to my pulpit and said, after 2.5 years, I've been in a serious manic suicidal depression. The moment I said it, I was healed. Because the church sometimes were so protective of our reputation. And man, who cares? C3 is a hospital, not a museum. People come here to get better. But Pastor Matt, you know, you are our Gideon. You are the Gideon of this church. And I saw you like as a boy. It was a beautiful thing because I have one of my musician's son. He's artistic. He was diagnosed as ADD as a boy. He was just hyperactive. So I just put him in sports. And people, even your family wondered about you. God, he's so active. He's so creative. He's so out there. But God made you the way you are. And this is your season for everyone to see that Jesus knew what he was doing when he made Pastor Matt. When he created you with the acumen to be so creative, spontaneous, to be so dynamic, to be so, have so many creative ideas and have such a spiritual sensitivity. And the Lord's just very proud of you, sir. And this is the birthing season of this church. This is the birthing season. You're going to travel the world, talk to businessmen and women. Your passport into every culture of the world is going to be your business success. But what they don't know is they're receiving a minister, not just a businessman. They're receiving an on-fire Gideon. And God's proud of you for not giving up. I see almost an 11-year season was so intense in your life. When you kept feeling these prophetic instincts, these creative things, but nothing was yet manifesting. God says, thank you for trusting me. Thank you for aligning with C3. Thank you for surrendering to the calling I have. Every dream you've ever had, God's going to fulfill. This is a dream room. This is a dream church. This is a destiny church. This is a Gideon church. This is the curse-breaking church. And people, there's this spiritual build. People don't know about your story. Is the intense spiritual struggle. So I saw a 5.5-year time when the devil just went after you through all kinds of spiritual activities, unusual occurrences, even nightmares, just horrific season. But God brought you through that hurricane of adversity because you were always called to be an apostle, a great man of God, a history maker and a world shaker. And God's anointed you for such a time as this. God, I thank you for everything you're doing. I pray, God, for every person in this room this morning, Lord, and I declare that curses are broken. I declare that freedom comes. Come on, just worship the Lord with me. God, we declare that total freedom is ours in Christ, that we are free, 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 that no weapon formed against us can prosper, that we are walking, God, in our calling, our destiny, our purpose. And God, we thank you that we're tearing down ancient strongholds and family idols and all kinds of oppressive activity of the enemy for the life you've given us. Thank you, Jesus, for the future. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. There are 11 people here. You've been fighting depression. And, when discouragement stays too long, it metastasizes into depression. You can't tolerate discouragement. But if you say, Pastor, I've been fighting discouragement or depression, would you just hold up your hand? Because Jesus healed me, man. I'm going to pray a prayer for you. Come on, just be honest. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. So, Father, I pray for my friends. Just keep your hands up. I pray for my friends. Come on. Help me, congregation. If someone has their hands raised, let's pray for them. Father, we pray for our friends now, our brothers and sisters. We declare freedom. We declare, God, that your life, your love, your spirit, your grace, your anointed presence floods into their world. In the name of Jesus, the Lord of the church. And God, we pray for a hope to emerge. We bind every lie that's been told to them. We declare, God, every family or generational curse is broken. We declare no weapon can flourish, prosper, succeed in its purpose because of the blood of Jesus Christ. God, we declare, God, that they belong to you. Their future belongs to you. The devil can't have their future. Their future belongs to you, Lord Jesus. And we praise you and we worship you for it. Amen. Let me pray for Linda and your name, Jamin. Would you come forward? Thank you, God, for Linda and Jamin. It's not Linda. I keep calling her Linda. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. So that's, Lord, thank you for Jamin. You're two seasons away from a great invention. God's going to use you. I know you're working for others, but you're going to work for yourself in the future. Not just as a consultant, but as the owner-operator of some kind of unbelievable enterprise. Your mind is restless because it's not always challenged. But God's unlocking the imagination of your intelligence. And you're about to receive creative ideas from God. They're going to make you very wealthy within your lifetime. Make you very influential, things that you don't even quest for, but there's a reason for your genius, young man, and that reason is the kingdom of God and the things God's going to do for you. God promised you he would make all things new. God promised you. You waited for Linda. You waited for a godly wife. Now you're in a season of preparation, but in the fifth year of your marriage, everything's going to accelerate, and there's miracles about to happen. And you're going to see God visit you and give you your family inheritance that was taken from you. And everything that you ever endured in those years, God's going to multiply a harvest back, a reparation back to you in Christ's name. I've anointed you not just to organize. I've anointed you not just to supervise. I've anointed you to preach the gospel of my son. And I've anointed you to be a prophetess, a voice. And God says, you are anointed, and you will be like Deborah, and I'm going to set captives free, and I'm going to punish for 4.5 years the devil hurt you, and the last thing was he tried to kill you, but now I'm going to punish him for the rest of your life through you, and you're going to set the captives free, and you're going to see people receive miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. I've anointed you to be a deliverer. I've anointed you to set the captives free. I see, okay, I prophesy to 4 high schools and 2 junior highs, revival comes to this church. Just dream with me. Imagine this room being the youth room. Because size-wise, that's the size of the youth group. It's going to happen in Christ's name. God, thank you. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Can I pray for you? Are you with anybody? Okay. Yeah. Can I pray for you too? Hey, I'm. There's a lot of pregnant people here. As a baby lover, that makes me really happy. Hi, what's your name, sir?
David.
David.
Brianna.
David and Brianna. Well, thank you, God, for David and Brianna. You know, David, I saw this really cool thing. I used to run middle distance and stuff. God's about to give you a second wind. You're not in the wrong place. You're not doing the wrong thing. You're not even in the wrong vocation. But the exhaustion you feel is the enemy trying to steal what's about to happen in your story. And God's going to honor your obedience, kind of sacrificial obedience in this season. And you're about to have a breakthrough. Because God's going to do through you what he's been trying to do through three generations in your family. You are the curse breaker. You are the overcomer. You are the one that's conquering. And both by through business is lost, property loss, reputation is lost. So many things stolen from your family. Here's God's deal with you. I'm going to give you back twice as much as everything the devil ever took from your family tree. I've anointed you to be Gideon. And God says, the Lord's proud of the way that you walked away from addictive behaviors, and now you're addicted to Jesus. And the reason why this season's been so intensely discouraging is because you've entered the birthing season. Discouragement is the greatest when breakthrough is the closest. You're right there. Everything's going to happen at once for you. A child of destiny, a child of breakthrough, a child of restoration. So God, thank you for your hand upon this lovely family. Thank you, God, for my sister's great faith. So tell me your name again.
Brianna.
So Miss Brianna, you have the gift of pure-hearted faith. And God's just so proud of you because you don't grow. Your faith in Christ is like a bamboo tree. You just grow so quickly. You get things. You grasp things. Your heart receives them. There's not an encumbrance. And the way God talks to you is so beautifully. And I just see God anointed you to heal broken hearts and broken lives. And you're sensitive to the things of the Spirit, but yet you have a deep wisdom, both from 13 to 17. God gave you an education through the difficulty of your own journey, through family dysfunction. But in all that time, you had an adult mindset. You saw what they were doing wrong. You saw things. You're going to help people do it right. You're going to help people. God's proud of you for doing it right. He's proud of you for waiting, trusting, believing. He's proud of you. The Lord, so it's been like a little while now, but God chased three things out of your world. The wrong person, the wrong place, the wrong vocation. Everything changed for you suddenly, but it was God pulling you into a destiny season. You're right in the center of God's will for your life, and God's going to use you more and more and more. You're part of a anointed team of prophetic women in this church that are going to rock the world for Jesus. There's something on you that's going to see so many things happen. So you're going to be a part of some really big things and not be intimidated by it, because there's big things in you to do for God. It's really true. And there's power in your story. You keep telling it. There's something. This isn't just a baby, the birth of a baby. It's the birth of a destiny for your family. So God, thank you for blessing this family in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.